Hello, everyone. Welcome to Bumper Sticker Wisdom. I'm Jason.
I'm John.
We have a very special guest. Give it up for Hannah.
Hi. Say hi.
Hi.
Brother John's going to say a prayer and we'll get started.
Yes, sir. Heavenly Father, we just want to lift this whole process up to you. We want to thank you for giving us the opportunity to do so, Father. Thank you that we just get a moment to step away from our lives and get around the table and be honest with each other and try to learn a little bit about you and grow a relationship with you and while we grow our relationship with each other. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Well, so, just a quick sports situation.
Situation.
How did it feel to see OBC put the whoop down on Florida State?
Hey, look.
That proves that Florida State did not belong.
No, you could have gave the Georgia Tech game a fluke, but then to turn around and lose to Boston College too?
Yeah.
No, you don't belong.
I was happy for Boston College because
I don't know the last time they had
Bill O'Brien, I still think is a good coach, and him get to,
Is he the one who took that job?
Yeah.
He left Houston Texans and went to?
Yeah. He's Boston College's head
coach. I did not realize that. Yeah. That's awesome. Good for him. Good for them because they haven't had a lot of success in the last – well, since Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
Which is not like they played for Natties or anything. Miss Hannah's like in space right now.
I know none of this.
That's okay. She's a part of the fantasy league.
Yeah. She's going to be a part. Yeah, she's going to get to know all this.
She's going to get to know.
It's going
to
be great. It's going to be a good time.
You will. You will be looking at your app being like, C. Jones, you better get me 15 points.
Yeah. What's crazy about fantasy football is it makes you a fan of the sport. Like, you can have a favorite team.
Yeah.
But then you start, you rooting for everybody. Like, you're rooting for so many different players that it makes you a fan of the actual sport again.
Yeah.
Like, when you were a kid, you just wanted to watch football. You didn't really care.
Yeah.
So it'll draw you in.
Yeah. I'm excited for that. And you're not going to be all on your own on an island. We've got mentors. Each mentor gets three teams that they get to mentor. We're not here to manage anything. We're here to coach.
Yeah.
So
I think that's key. That is key
to
all the mentors. Yes. They need to not touch anything. They just need to.
You call me when you have a question, and I will answer your question.
Yeah. But I'm not walking.
And I will give you, if you ask me, hey, so-and-so got injured. I need to replace my running back. Okay, look at the waiver wire. If this guy's available, go get him. If not, look for somebody who's a projected starter and ask me a question again.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. It's going to be fun. Your eyes got really big. I could see just thinking about it. Oh, man. Well.
I'm going to require a lot of TLC.
That's all right. You'll be fine.
You know, if there's a good mentor for that, my dad, because he's in front of his computer all day, every day.
Yeah.
And he is a fantasy nut, so he will definitely. Yeah. You could call him anytime. He'd be like, hey, Hannah. Start talking about fantasy football. Except for between like the hours of like midnight and 9 a.m.
Me too.
No questions asked then.
No.
So, funny story. So, we had everybody over for the draft last night, right?
Uh-huh.
And I'm petty. I'm super petty. Well, everybody leaves like, I don't know, like 9:30.
Yeah.
Well, then they all start texting me at 10 o'clock. So I'm like, okay, I got you. So 4:40 rolls around, and I get out of bed, and I start firing off them texts to them. I'm like, y'all know I go to bed early, man. Don't do that to me.
Yeah, you did that on purpose.
Yeah, but
fools.
I'm so petty that's how my mind works. So.
I did ribs yesterday. How'd yours turn out? Yours were great. I'm sure they always are.
They were good. I was really, 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 really disappointed in the spicy rack. So I put that West Indies sauce, that sauce I was telling you about. It's like super freaking spicy.
Did it cook out the spice or what?
Yeah, I diced up a couple jalapenos real fine, mixed them in that sauce. And then when I got ready to wrap them, you know, I sauced them up with that sauce.
Yeah. And
made great flavor, just
no
heat at all. I was like very disappointed because.
I told you that I came across a spice, right, that I liked. That's just a standalone spice, not necessarily a rub. I use that and a new rub. You should try it. It's got a little zing. It's got a nice little kick.
I want
you like spicy, though.
Yeah, I want like I guess I'm going to have to try it with habaneros. I don't know. I'm just going to have to step it up.
Did you ever get to use that barbecue sauce I made with the habaneros? You didn't?
No. Not even going to lie to you, brother.
Shame, shame. Poor shame. Yeah. Annie, do you like spicy food? Mm-hmm. Do you really?
Hot.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah, we'll be friends.
Yeah. Most people can't handle it. They're like, Mrs. Hot, and I'm like...
I like spicy, don't get me wrong, but, like, there's certain levels to it. I mean, it's so good that you can't stop eating it, but it's tears running down my face and all that, and I'm not quite as... I guess you guys can handle it. I'm not quite there. I will say that I'm not that person, like, that if there's any spice at all, like, a little too much pepper isn't going to hurt. You know what I mean? There's some people that a little too much pepper in the mashed potatoes, and they're like, God, this is spicy, and it's like...
Well, you've seen what I do with pepper.
Yeah, your food is swimming in pepper. Yeah.
I take the top off the pepper shaker.
Okay, I'm not that bad, but I do like pepper.
Yeah. That's funny.
Have you done the one chip challenge?
Uh-uh. Never heard of it.
Okay, so it's the world's hottest chip. It's like...
60 seconds?
60 seconds. It's like 2.5 million Scoville on the heat unit. Jalapeno is 55,000. Or 5,500.
Yeah.
It's like 2 million.
I've done the devil's tongue or whatever that candy is. Yeah. You're talking about?
Yeah.
And I had ice in my mouth for a few hours. Yeah. So I don't think I could.
I can't even imagine what that would do to my intestinal region.
Well, I wasn't right for about 3 days.
I bet.
You did it?
Yeah.
I've seen the video.
Yeah.
And it coats your tongue.
Yeah, that's the problem. But here's what's crazy about it is it's actually freaking good. So, like, when you eat it, it has good flavor, and you can feel the heat. So it's like, oh, man. And then, like, three more chews into it. So, like, when you first put it in your mouth, put it all in there at one time because you don't want to prolong this thing. So when you first put the chip in your mouth and you taste it, and then you start chewing on it, and then that's when the heat starts kicking in.
Yeah.
My ears were like ringing. Like I was over there like beating on the side of my head. Like, ooh. Yeah, yeah.
No, this could not be me. I could not.
I made it about 45 seconds, and then I was chugging everything in sight.
Yep,
everything in sight.
I bet. It's hot, head in the sink.
Gosh. It's hot. It is hot.
Did you swallow it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. I paid for it for about 3 days.
So my rack of ribs I did two. They came out good. I didn't follow any method or anything. I just kind of went off a feel. Didn't even temp them. Didn't even probe them until I got to the end.
Yeah. No wrap, no nothing.
I did wrap them, but I didn't like. I just kind of went off a feel, like what I saw, and I was like, okay, I feel like it's ready to wrap.
Yeah.
And then I wrapped in apple juice and sauce and peach paper and put it back on the smoker for like, I don't know. It was probably on the smoker for 6 hours. And I took them off and I wrapped them in foil with the piece of paper and put them on a tray and put them in the oven. And just let them rest for like 2 hours.
Yeah.
Came out really good. That was probably my best set yet.
Yeah.
I'm too technical. Like, I want to know, like, I'm really good in the kitchen. And so, like, I need recipes so I have a basis. Like, because I don't know I don't just know how to do these things, right? So if I can get a foundation, I can start doing my own thing.
Yeah.
And so this was the first time that I ever kind of just went and did it. I was like, I don't care what I've been taught. I kind of have an idea in my head. I'm just going to do my thing.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I'd done it that way. So.
They were good. I had a bite.
Oh.
I was over at Casey's.
I did not realize that. Did you have any spice in that? It had a little bit of a spice, and it was just the
seasoning. I don't remember a ton. I had one bite off of.
Then it wasn't that good.
It wasn't hot, but it was good. I'm not a big rib eater, though, either.
Oh, yeah.
I could live off ribs.
I think I'd like ribs because they're easier.
Like, oh, dude.
Dude, doing a brisket is a commitment.
I threw 4 racks on. I got up at 3 o'clock yesterday morning and started getting everything ready. Got my smoker cleaned out, and then because, you know, I like my ribs to be, like, room temperature before I cook them.
See, so I didn't do that.
I let them sit. Yeah. Let them sit on the counter. And I went back to bed for a couple hours and got up, like, 7.
I should have pulled them out the night before, right when I went to bed, and let them sit on the counter.
Just a couple. And just, like, I mean, I think I think mine sat there for about 3.5 hours, and they came out perfect.
I think I had mine out on the counter for about an hour.
Yeah.
So I started the smoker early just to let it smoke and get all the dirty smoke out, and then turn it up to heat, let it get hot, and then turn it back down and let it kind of level off. And then, which is not something I normally do either. I normally turn it on, get it to where I want it, and throw it in. You know what I mean? So everything was a little bit different, but.
Yeah, and then right after I put them on, I dropped the lid on my smoker, and all that black flaky crap fell off.
Oh, you went dunk.
I dropped it on accident, yeah. Mm. Right after I put them on there, and I was, like, the lid kind of slipped out of my hand. I had a cutting board. I had freaking tongs. I had a spatula. Like, I had all this crap. It was early. I was out there in my freaking chonglas, you know. And I just was in a hurry, and I dropped it, and I didn't think nothing of it. And then I come back about an hour and a half later, and I opened it, and I was like, ah. Oh.
Dang it.
Yeah, so I was sitting there with my side meat probe. I was sitting over there like trying to
picking black spots off.
Brush it all off there. Yeah.
It's been a while since we talked about food on the podcast, so this is one of those episodes.
Yeah.
I think the last time we talked about food was March Madness. Cause you asked me about all the stuff that I did.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yep. I don't think we've done any of that talking about food in a while. I'm getting hungry again.
I'm fixing to do another beef tenderloin.
Oh, can I come?
Yeah,
please. Absolutely. That was phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm fixing to do another one of them. Got one coming.
Nice. Yeah. Those are good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like it better than steak.
Yeah. So, like, you can eat it with just a fork.
Yeah. I've been a part of it. It's good.
All right, so anybody got any ideas? Anybody got any topics?
Well, it's always me. I always have something to say. There's a few things that have really been on my mind. I kind of still want to continue to talk about the challenge with with our Monday night Bible study group, with how we're kind of challenging each other to get in the Word. It goes back to that conversation we had about the power of 100, which is 18 minutes a day for a year, is
1.25% of your life.
1.25% of every single day is 100 hours in a year. And it's like when you really start putting pen to paper or doing the math on that, it's like 1.25% of my day, like barely over 1% of my day. I lose that looking for my shoes in the morning. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like I started really challenging myself. And so this has continued to be on my mind. And first week was a little rough. So since you're in the room, you don't know what we did. We challenged each other to, there's 7 of us in this group. So each one of us every night at 8 has to send a chapter of one of the books of the Bible that we're reading or want to read. And everybody else on the honor system.
Yeah.
Is expected to read
Scouts honor. It's basically what it is.
Right. A lot of different reasons for that. One is to just get back into the Word. Yeah. The other, hoping that it would create more conversation or questions.
Yeah.
I have a lot of questions, man. You know what I mean? But like, we need people to talk to about it. So it was just trying to motivate that, but most importantly, it's like getting into God's Word and like spending time there. And like we're saying 5 minutes, just 5 minutes.
There's going to be plenty of opportunity to call out for accountability in this, though.
It's already happened. Yeah. So that's another thing that we talk about a lot, is like being accountable and holding each other accountable. So like when somebody misses, they get to hear about it. And it's not a negative, and it's not beating each other up. It's just, hey, man, it was your turn. You missed. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because that's something we challenge each other with. But it was good yesterday. And so I decided that one thing that I said to the group yesterday was, look, guys, I didn't think this up, or we didn't come up with this idea, so I would have another thing to do. I have plenty of things to do between all of the things that I got my hands on, plus – you know, handling all our social media stuff and all that kind of stuff. Like, I don't need another task.
Yeah.
So, given one a week, I think it's pretty.
Yeah.
You know, it helps me because I don't have to do it. Now, I also don't want it to go without it happening either. So, if somebody's not going to do it, I would rather just do it myself.
Yeah.
It's kind of a weakness of mine, right? So it's one of those deals, like I'm trying to determine what's a fair amount of time. Like, okay, it's 8:30. It hasn't happened yet. So what I decided was, like, I'm going to give you a 5-minute warning. So I'm adding that to my list of things to do.
Yeah.
Whoever's day it is. But it's, you know, it's a 10-second text. Hey, man, 5 minutes till time. And as soon as you see it, you'll know what that means, right? So
Tanner's tonight.
Tanner's tonight. Yep. I have an alarm set.
Yep.
And so I remember to do it.
Dad's tomorrow.
Dad's tomorrow. Yep.
Ronnie's Thursday. Harley's Friday.
You're Saturday.
I'm Saturday. Kevin's Sunday.
Yep. Yep. So,
accountability.
Accountability. Yeah. Like, we all know. And as soon as it happens, whoever is like, sorry, guys, you know.
Yeah.
Last week, though, while we were in the midst, we had a rough recording session in that we were in the middle of, I mean, we were literally 30 minutes in, and all the power went out, and it corrupted the SD card and had to reformat and lost it. So we started over. So last week, in the middle of recording, we got,
I like sucked all the energy out of the room too.
What's that?
When the power shut off,
it was weird.
Like,
no. Really? And then I almost turned it off.
Yeah.
I grabbed it and I hit the power button and he was like,
I was sitting there looking at him like, bro, we're going to have to do this another time if you just turned it off, because I'm going home.
But we got lucky because it's like, are you sure? Like, no, don't do that. But anyway, in the middle of recording last week, we finally, it was a little late, but we got the chapter. We stopped and did it on the podcast. I was a little concerned about that. But it was weird how it just tied into what we were talking about already.
Yeah.
It's like funny how God works like that.
I was going to
say, that's God. Oh, yeah. Every time.
Showing up and showing out.
100%. Yeah.
He said, God is good. And it's like, bloof.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, every, like, right, almost instantly after he said it, it was like, pitch black.
It was kind of eerie. Because, I mean, I'm like, okay, maybe
I
was, God.
You know, immediately what I thought? Someone hacked our power grid. Like, that's where my mind went. I'm like, because I know you pay your bills, and there wasn't no storms outside, you know? So I'm like, fudge.
China got us.
Someone got us. Yeah. And then it was like, boom, like less than 5 seconds later, it came back on. I was like, oh, okay. Well.
It got real dark in here. I didn't know it could get that dark in here.
No, it was dark. It was real dark. I mean, we had this all shut. The air conditioner was off and the blind was pushed all the way over. So I mean, it was like dark.
Yeah. I was like, and then when it came back and we were just staring at each other, like, what happened?
Yeah. And then I was like, please tell me it didn't erase it.
Yes, it did. So, but yeah, so that's kind of been on my mind. But really, what's been on my mind, I told you a couple of weeks ago when we were at church, this happened a couple of times recently where I told you to write something down.
Yeah.
The word peace just kept coming up. And it's something that I struggle with. But then it's like, it's kind of like what we were talking about earlier. Yesterday, Monday is my day. So I sent Ecclesiastes chapter 4. And one of the things that Ecclesiastes chapter 4 is about community.
Yeah.
And which is something that I struggled with for a very long time. And I've been very, very vocal recently about how grateful I am to God that I finally have a group of men specifically, that I can just bounce my shit off of, you know what I mean? And like, I'm not afraid to, still not real good at doing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm kind of working at it. But like I said, I was telling Dad earlier, like we were talking about, like I'm still trying to grasp it. It's not like a grasp of understanding. I understand it, but it's a grasp of application. It's the same thing with the peace thing.
Yeah. So you understood what I was saying.
Yeah.
When I said I had to read it twice.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Not because I didn't understand, because I understood it fully what it meant.
Yeah.
I just was trying to apply that to how to use it.
Yeah.
Like I read it the first time and I was like, man, this guy got to go back.
Well, what do you think? What do you think that?
And I didn't get to read it till this morning.
Let's stay on the relationship side of it. Like forget, don't forget about the peace, but let's not think about that right now. When we're talking about applying it, what do you think? How do you apply the idea of community? How do you apply that, you know,
being there for one another,
being more than having someone to be with, or to be with you and in it with you, is better than being on your own.
Yeah,
more likely to be successful, and even three is even better.
Yeah,
Right.
For a cord of three strands is not easily broken.
Right. Right.
I got it.
Good job. But like,
it's not like, very often that that happens.
Oh, it gets better all the time. That's why we do it. But I mean, like, I'm trying to, I'm asking myself, like, what does that look like? How do you get better at that? Other than the first thing that comes to mind is surrender, right? Like, you have to surrender. Like, I know it's an issue, so I have to surrender to it in order to become better at it or to have a better grasp of it within life. Like, that's the only thing that makes sense to me.
I feel like you have to really lean into it, though, also, because if you're not using the people that God has put around you, then once you do and they're there for you, for me, trust is a big thing. Yeah. So like, once they're there for you, and I'm like, okay, you got me. When I'm walking through something, I know I can come to you.
Yeah.
You start to lean into that. I don't have a lot of people that I'll do that with, but I think it's important to know that they got you. And community really is so important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we say it all the time. We're better together. You know what I mean? But I also know that not everybody is meant to be part of that inner circle, right?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, the trust is a big thing for me too. Like, I don't want to bring this up again, but a few weeks ago I was talking about don't have a lot of relationships. You know, like this friendship, this relationship has become very, very important to me. And then I was like, it's not that there's been a lot of competition. Which was stupid for me to say because it wasn't like that. But it was more like the reason I say that is because, like, that should mean more to you, right? Because it's like, that's how important it is. That's how, like, I'm trusting not just you, but that group of seven men. I'm trusting you guys with me. Like, you get all of it.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, again, it's not like I'm calling one of you every day, like, bro, I'm struggling with this or – you know, anything like that, but...
No, you still carry your own baggage.
Yeah, of course. You know, but if I'm hoping or I'm thinking and believing that when I do have something that I'm not sure or I don't know what to do or I don't know where I'm at right now, that I can make that call.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? For the first time in my life. Like, so it wasn't about what to compare it to other than... that I've never really had it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that to me should be, you should feel honored. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You should be honored that I'm your friend.
No, I know what you're
but
saying.
But yeah. Just the severity of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and again, all the pressure doesn't go to Jason. The pressure comes back to me. You guys sit there and listen to me on Mondays. Just listen to me. Put it out there and put out my thoughts about God's word and what I think.
I stay pretty active in that
group.
You do. I always try to bring something to the table.
I will say over the last, especially since we started doing this, it's gotten to be more and more and more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You've gotten to be a lot more.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I try to like Mondays, like at work, I try to come up with topics and Bible verses, something that we can kind of.
Yeah. At least something.
Something to bounce off of each other, because a lot of the times we get there and it's just me and him's like, it feels like it's a personal conversation for the first 5-10 minutes.
Yeah, right.
And everybody's like starts getting tuned in. They're like, oh, yeah.
Well, and the way we call it Bible study, right? And the way we started was just, we would pick a book and I would start reading that book. And as things would come up, we would talk about it, which is fine. You know, it's fine. But at some point, it's like, okay, like, you're just listening to me read.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that, the more we've gone on, the more everybody
more
has
engagement.
Thoughts. Yeah, so it's like, how do we fix that? How do we make that a little bit better? Well,
the 5 minutes a day.
5 minutes a day. That's it. That's the way.
That gives them something. That gives everybody something to think about. So one day a week, someone has to think.
Yeah.
Whatever you thought about, drag that to the table Monday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Carry your weight. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, you know what's funny? Like, I was looking at, because I do everything in the Bible app anymore just because it's so convenient. It's there all the time. I love my hard copy Bible. Like, I don't know. It just feels different when you're in that than it is on your screen. But, like, I have, like, 700 scriptures that are highlighted that are in here. I don't like marking in my Bible.
either. I'm marking mine.
A lot. See, everybody's a little bit different.
Are you do or don't?
I do.
You
I
too.
I'll, all I'll, over. I'll, dude, I'll mark
you
all
you
over.
You got it all over the
I'll
place?
I'll go get another one when I'm done.
You know what's interesting, though? Like, I think it's cool, too, because I can't. There's something about it to me. Yeah. Like, I can't do it. No judgment towards anybody who does. It's just me, right? Like, I feel like I can't do that. But, like, I would love if I were to be able to go back and look at where my mind was, where my heart was there.
Last time I hit it with a pink highlighter. I know. Sitting at your table.
You did.
A Jack Terry's highlighter.
Sick. Yes, you
did. Started highlighting.
She said sick.
Started highlighting it with the pink highlighter. I was super proud of myself.
I think, like you said, to be able to go back and see like what you were either thinking when you read that scripture, because the next time you read it can mean something completely different.
Yeah, yep. It changes. That's right. It changes almost every time. Like every time I read a verse, it sounds different to me.
Mm-hmm. It certainly depends on where you're at in that moment.
Yeah, where your head's at.
Yeah. Yeah. I've talked about Romans, right? Romans is my favorite book of the Bible. I think everybody has their go-to book, right? And Romans has always been mine, and I've probably read that. It's over 12 times I've read that whole book over and over and over again. And it does. Every single time I read it, something else jumps out at me.
Yeah.
You know, it's the craziest thing. And the understanding of it changes a little bit every single time too. And that's kind of, I think too, it's encouraging to know that this is a lifelong journey. You know what I mean? I think that a lot of us think, we're supposed to be at a certain point already. I think I said earlier, like, we're still in the race. Like, I'm still in the race. Like, I got I'm not near the end. I got a long ways to go.
You don't reach the end until you reach him, like you said earlier. Until, we weren't recording, but
right.
Like you said earlier, I mean.
Until I'm high-fiving Jesus in heaven, I guess, you know what I mean? Like, that would be, okay, that life is over.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know. I think that I go back to, what is God's word, right? It's a lamp unto our feet.
Yeah.
Well, how do you know how to get on the path and stay on the path if you're not in it?
Look for the light.
It's a light for a lot of reasons. So you can tell, oh, shit, I'm supposed to be over there.
Yeah.
And so you can tell, okay, I got to take this step. I got to stay within this, where the light is.
We talked about something, though. Was it last week on the show? We talked about the further you get off the path, it's just like any light. One light from 50 feet away can still look bright, but from 5,500 feet away, it's going to be real dim, real small.
Yeah.
The further you get off the path, the harder it is to find it, which I think really is true, because you look at, I mean, myself, for example, I was so far off the path, I never thought I would see the path.
Right.
And to be where I'm at today is just kind of.
Right. Well, I think that's another thing about the process. I guess the longer you don't get as far off the path every single time you come off it.
Yeah. No, you
at
stay,
least when
you,
you're leaned you, into it and committed to it.
You kind of linger right there beside it. You know what I mean?
Like, well, we talked about, like, you can see somebody's fire from across the lake.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like that big. It doesn't look like nothing. But from that side of the lake, it's like raging.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
I think, though, when you're off the path is when it's important.
Yeah.
How you get back on it and how you can shape into other people's lives.
Right. So. You know, how do you get back on the path whenever you veer off of it, right? Part of it is, I think, having a community of people that are there to help you be accountable and hold you accountable, right? I think that that's definitely part of it. What do you think?
I was saying, I think that when you're off the path, it shapes you into who you are when you're back on it.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, like, I've been ministry for 10 years almost, and it's not about what I know. It's about the experience I've had and the people I've come across and the way I've been able to speak into their lives. I don't know everything. I'm 27.
Right.
But, you know, just seeing what they've been through or walking through it is how I can help others.
Right, right.
So, does that make sense? Does that
Well, and besides that, experience is where you get I can't help people with things that I've never dealt with or that I haven't ever seen anybody else deal with, right? Yeah. Like, how do you teach somebody to deal with mourning a loved one who's passed on if you've never had to deal with it or you've never seen anybody deal with it, or
teaching someone to overcome addiction if you've never dealt with it? I mean,
I can't, because I mean, I've never done it.
Yeah.
You know, I think too, what you're talking about is testimony. Yeah. Right. How does the enemy defeated? by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony.
Yeah.
Testimony is important. So our experience, while we don't want to stay in the past, and I'm quoting Theo Vaughn with the whole, you keep carrying bricks into your present, you're going to keep building the same house, you know. But it's not about forgetting the past. It's just about not bringing it with you. You know what I mean? Like, our experience is what helps us grow.
I think it's very important not to forget the past.
Yeah.
You know, the mistakes that we make in life, when you can own those, and you can openly discuss them, you really truly are over those mistakes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Once you can really be honest with yourself and everyone else around you about the things that you've done, I think that's, or the things that you've gone through or anything, I think that's true healing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you know, like, when you're trying to heal from something, you tend to, like, you're just kind of stuffing it back in the back. Like, hey, you know, we'll deal with this later, or I don't want to ever have to deal with this again.
I don't even want to think about it.
Yeah. You don't truly heal.
Yeah.
That's still weighing you down. I mean, it's like a camping bag. You're just packing crap in it over and over and over, and eventually it gets so heavy you can't carry it.
Right.
That goes back to the feather thing.
Yeah. Gosh, we haven't talked about that in a long time.
Yeah.
That animated video.
Yeah, they keep adding a feather. You just keep adding a feather.
And eventually.
And eventually he's walking, and they add one more feather, and it's like, it just goes to show the weight of everything that you carry over and over and over again. I mean, multiple items. Hundreds of them a day. I mean, because we all do go through things on a daily basis.
Yeah,
where it adds some sort of weight to the baggage that you're carrying.
Yeah,
maybe it's not. Maybe you just had a bad dream, and it's a bad dream about a loved one.
Yeah,
you know, maybe you had a bad dream about a loved one passing on, or something that, and that's something that kind of attacks you emotionally in the morning. That's still baggage that you're dealing with it, because it will totally screw up your day.
It will screw up your day. Yeah.
A bad dream will set the pace for a terrible day really quick.
Yeah. I told you about that dream. I don't think I actually talked about it on here. About the three guys.
Yeah.
Or whatever, where, like, I knew that this guy was a believer, but he wasn't open about it. I knew that this guy, I wasn't sure about this one, and I knew this guy wasn't, and the demonic voices and stuff like that, and how I was like almost like exorcism style stuff going on, like I was holding these dudes in headlocks. And but then, like, at the end of it, like, I came out of there, like, everybody, it was at work, which is the weirdest thing, right? Like, the people kept kind of poking their head in, and they go, oop. You know what I mean? Like, oh no, I don't want to be in there, you know, to keep walking or whatever. And it's crazy because I don't usually remember dreams. It's crazy.
But then you come out and you were at church.
I was at church and all these people were there. And like, somebody looked
at me. Are
you okay? They looked at me and they go, you okay? And I'm like, mm-mm. And I just hit the floor. And then like, everybody started praying over me. It was crazy. Like, I'm not that guy. You know what I mean? That's weird to me. Even thinking about it, I'm getting cringy. Just thinking about people touching me and be like praying over me and stuff. Like, it makes me cringe. But I think it was a vision of, or an idea of, like, man, you got to be ready from all sides. You know what I mean? Even the one who I knew was somebody who believed, but they weren't open about it. It was like severe demonic stuff coming out of them.
Your dad had a very good kind of analogy about that. I don't remember exactly everything he said.
Yeah.
But he brought some really clear light to that.
Yeah.
You know, about the gathering and
I mean, the idea that when I came out of there was people there, and it was, the crazy thing is, it wasn't a bunch of people that I trust, like we were talking about earlier. Like, it wasn't my wife, it wasn't Jason, it wasn't, you know, the guys from my men's group, it wasn't my dad, it was other people from the church that were there, and like, they knew what was happening. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That was the weirdest thing to me, because it wasn't the people from that inner trust, that inner circle, you know. I don't know. It, that dream messed me up for a few days. Yeah, it really had me.
We got to our men's group, and you're like, hey, I got to get something off my chest.
Yeah, that was tough. Yeah. And it's weird. Like, now it doesn't, I don't know. I think I kind of have an understanding of maybe what God was trying to say to me. A lot of it has to do with this community thing. Interestingly, that he didn't put people in the dream that was part of my community or what I would consider part of my community.
Yeah, but I mean, you you know, like God works in very mysterious ways.
Yeah, we don't know his ways.
And for him to, or like if you've, I'm not going to say that this was a message from God, but you know what you feel. Yeah. I can't say what you felt or how you felt. I can't tell you if, oh, that was definitely a message. I can't tell you that because it wasn't me. But you know deep down, like, hey, I think this was a message from God.
I actually know what the message was at this point because I don't know if you remember me talking about it. The prayer thing and the altar ministry, like, is a bit intimidating for me because I feel like I need to be verbose and, like, I have to say all these things. Yeah. And then I was recognizing in the dream that I was stumbling over my words and I was thinking about it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm wrestling demons over here and I'm, like, worried about what I'm saying. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? And then I was, when I woke up, the first thing I could think of was the power of the name of Jesus. Just say the name. You know what I mean? Stop thinking so much.
Yeah.
That was really what he was trying to tell me because it was something I was struggling with really bad. Like, I feel like, I don't know how you feel about it. Like, you're up there sometimes too. Like,
is it hard?
I know I'm not always going to have the right words. And sometimes I'll just kind of pause and just hope that the Holy Spirit just downloads whatever they need from me in that moment. And sometimes I do. I'm like, I know what I need to pray for. But I think honestly, stepping out and doing it is what has got made me better at it. It made me more confident. Now I can stand up there and I'm like, I may not know what they're going through, but I can pray for it. And one time, I was so nervous.
Gosh.
It was years ago. And a lady came up and she had a horrible migraine, had had it for weeks. And I just put my hands on her head and started praying and it immediately went away.
That's fantastic.
And I was like, I don't need the words. I don't need it. God will do what needs to happen and the rest will fall into place. But so it is. Sometimes it's intimidating, especially if Pastor Richie comes up to you.
Like, my first time up there, he was the first one. And I was like, really, bro? Come on, man.
But
then he was like, you know, I take a bent of like whenever I am praying, like I'm not begging God for anything. I'm seriously like I'm expectant because I know what your word says. I know what your promises are. And like, I'm not begging you to let me have it. I already have it. We already have this. It's already done.
If you truly open your heart,
I
mean, I've said a couple of prayers that I immediately when I got done, I was like, oh
wow, where'd that come from?
Right. That ain't me because I stutter. I'm I lose my mind when the pressure's on me. It's game over.
He prayed at the end of one of our episodes that was really really strong, and like we just outed the whole thing. That was mic drop done. Yeah. It was very, very, every time I listen to it, I get chill bumps. You know what I'm saying? Like, he doesn't like to hear that. I don't like to hear it when somebody says stuff like that about me either. But like, yeah, exactly. But you said exactly what I was saying. Like what God was trying to teach me is like, it's not in your strength, John.
Yeah.
It's not in you. It's not about you.
Yeah.
You know, it's about me. Just come back to me. And I remember one time, you talking about the Holy Spirit. Like, I remember one time, Pastor Richie saying like how people will come up to him and say, hey, you know, when you said this, and he's like, I never said that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that's another thing that kind of makes it a little bit freeing. It's like, dude, I'm asking God before I go up there every single time. God, just let me be the vessel. You be the words. Just let me be the vessel. It's not about my understanding. Just let me be the vessel. If that's going to be the case, I'm going to ask God for that. Why can't I just trust that he's going to do that? And they're going to hear what it is that God wants them to hear. It has nothing to do with what I said.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We did this like Holy Spirit weekend one time in these videos. You can get like your prayer language and stuff. I don't know how much y'all know about that. But in the video, this lady was talking about how she was speaking in her prayer language and somebody came up to her and she said, she just started bawling and she was like, how did you know I needed to hear that? And she said, what did I say? And she was saying that it was like, I love you so much and I'll hold you forever or something. It was a different language. She didn't know. She just knew it was like her prayer language. And this lady was interpreting it.
That's crazy. I mean, how that works.
God timing. Like,
whoa.
Yeah. And that's how the speaking in tongues things works. Right. We've talked about that a few times. Like,
I have never heard.
We have Holy Spirit Weekend coming up soon. You'll have to come.
That is freaking awesome. I never even knew that was a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not very well versed in that, right? Like, in the same thing with the tongues. I've never had that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And I've
never heard anybody speak in tongues.
I've heard it a couple times.
Okay, so
I also am a little leery because I know that there are people that are disingenuous, and that makes me real skeptical.
Yeah.
At times, but I know that it is a thing. I know God's word says that it's a thing. So, like, I can't be skeptical always. I do believe that that is there, but it's never been something that's come out of me, right? But I have heard my dad do it.
But the person speaking doesn't understand what they're saying.
No, they don't even know what they're saying usually.
There's the other gift is the people that understand what's being said, but they can't speak it.
Yeah. When I got mine, these words just started coming out of my mouth. I couldn't explain it. It was a feeling I've never felt before. Yeah. And I got like this picture of like a sword in my head. And what's funny is you were talking about peace tonight.
Yeah.
And literally I saw a sword and he told me to have peace because he was going to protect me. And I have trust issues. So it was a really big thing for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you get there? How do you feel like you got there?
To getting a prayer language?
Issues. Like, how did you get to that? Like, you didn't just start there, right? There was a process involved.
Wait, hold on. What are you asking?
Okay. How did you
get to the point? I thought you were talking about trust issues.
That, too. That's part of the conversation, right? But, like, you were talking about God defending you, right? And you were talking about the words just coming out of your mouth. Like, you weren't in control of that. So, what was step one of that? How did you even get to that point?
I did not grow up in church, so... Out of high school, I started, they asked me to come interview for this job, and I was going to be an assistant at the church. I was going to nursing school. It wasn't my plan at all.
Yeah.
So anyways, I got a call from God, and I went to a sermon, and there was this burning in my body. I was like, I'm supposed to be in ministry. This is where I'm supposed to be. I don't know what this looks like.
Yeah.
I was 18. And just ever since then, I think I'm not perfect.
Sure.
And honestly, I fail day in and day out of getting into God's word, but just... being open, I think, is the biggest thing. People freak out when you start talking about prayer languages and stuff. Yeah, and they're like, what does that mean?
Yeah, it's a little nerve-wracking because you don't understand it.
I just got my prayer language in the last, like, year and a half.
Yeah.
So just being open, and I feel like being patient. I'm not very patient, but being patient, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think but that's fair. Those are all, like... Again, I think it comes down to everything we talk about just kind of like surrendering to it, right? Leaning into it, really getting into that. And I think that we're all called to ministry in some way, shape, or form. It all looks a little bit different, right? Yeah. Like, I'm very passionate about kids, but I think God changes your heart at times. Like, okay, like, you've done this for a season. I don't need you there anymore. I need you somewhere else, right? I think that happens, and we have to be prepared for that. We have to be agile. As far as the whole... prayer language thing, like, that's never been even something. It's not that it's not in my vernacular, like, I understand it, but I've never had it.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, I'm curious, how do you start that, right? Like, and you were talking about, like, you understanding God's call, right? Like, you completely shifted gears in your life, you know what I mean? Like, we've been in that church going on 8 years, so we're talking about roughly the same time period when you decided that that was going to be your... or when God told you that was the call, right? And I'm just like, I get that it's like kind of being submissive to it, being open to it, understanding that it is a thing, so be ready for it. It could happen. But I feel like that there's a, I don't know, that's just the way I'm analytical. So, like, I feel like there's steps involved. You know what I mean?
I think I was also just around it a lot. Like, people would just pray out in it, and I would get more comfortable slowly over time. I wasn't. I used to not want to pray out loud, and now it's just normal. I'm doing it. I'm like, oh, people think I'm talking to myself. But I just do it.
Yeah.
And people prayed over me multiple times to receive it, and I didn't. Like, I was like, oh, come on. Just give it to me.
Yeah.
But
waiting for, it's like.
The way she put her hands out, too, she's like, come on, just give it to me.
Like, you're waiting for the fire to burst out into your hands. But yeah,
you're disappointed, you know, when you don't get it. And I was like, "What? Am I doing something wrong?"
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember where I was at church. I don't.
Yeah.
I think it was an event or something.
And the
words just started coming out.
I just get curious. Like, I'm curious about that because, again, like, my dad speaks in tongues. I've never even had that inkling. And if somebody does speak in tongues, it's gibberish to me. So, like, again, I'm off on both of those bases. You know what I mean? Like, I can't speak it and I can't interpret it.
So if someone was in the room that claimed they could speak in tongues and they were just jabbering crap, and there was someone in the room that actually understood tongues, they would could get exposed pretty easily. Like, what are you talking about? You're not even...
They're supposed to come in pairs, I guess. Like, if you read through... Is it in Corinthians? I think it's in Corinthians.
If I answer when he that, talks, I'd be lying, and I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that.
I think it's in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians maybe, where he talks about the gifts of the Spirit, and he talks about, you know... Actually, I don't think they have to come in twos because he said, like, it's pointless if somebody can, but there's no one there to interpret it. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was kind of not speaking against it. Like, it's okay. Like, it has its place, but it's not really that big of a part because if there's not someone around that can interpret the tongues, then it's, you know, what's the point?
Yeah.
You know, there has to be somebody there that can.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying is if there's someone there that actually does or can interpret that and someone yeah. starts – rattling off some.
I will say I have seen it genuinely happen before. I have I've seen it genuinely happen where it was like kind of like a. The first image I have in my head is like a youth camp, you know what I mean? Where like there's just a bunch of different random people in a room. It wasn't. I don't think it was youth camp. It was something like that, like an event, like what you were talking about. And there's a bunch of people there, and all of a sudden someone started yelling out. In tongues, and it sounds kind of nasty. It doesn't necessarily sound pretty, you know what yeah. I mean? So it sounds kind of like somebody needs to go exercise that one over there, you know what I mean? Because that's the first thing that comes to my mind.
Well, I'm sure you've heard Hebrew. Hebrew's the same way. Hebrew sounds very aggressive.
Well, you've been around somebody who actually speaks Hebrew. Yeah,
like old school.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's such an aggressive language. It's like, have you ever had a friend like true blue Mexican mom Mm-mm. and they get mad
no. Everything they say sounds like they're about everything to hurt you.
Yeah, everything they say, that's how Shabby used to speak. I mean, like, everything yeah. was just so sounded so aggressive. I was always like,
yeah,
bro, what is the deal?
What are you mad about, bro? Yeah, he's like, I'm not mad.
Yeah, he's looking at me, he's like, I'm not mad. Bro, you're freaking me out, dude.
But yeah, I've seen it happen where somebody started speaking like that and I'm over here like, this looks pretty sus over here.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is, but that needs to go away. But obviously there was people in the room that understood what was happening, including the person on stage. And they're like, they just stopped everything and they just started kind of praying and doing worship. And like, if there's somebody who understands, and then next thing I know, someone from across the room starts kind of yelling it out out loud what they were saying. And it was super freaking powerful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I know it's real because I believe in God's word and I don't think that anything in there is a lie, right? So, like, I get that, but I'm also real skeptical because people like to use things as they like to weaponize scripture. We talk about it all the time. You know, we like to cherry pick, pull one scripture out of the whole thing.
They don't read before or after, they just pop one thing out and then
they
make you sound like you're doomed. Yeah. But you don't read the before or the after.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing.
I submit to your husband. Right under there it says must submit to your wife.
I know, right? Well,
that's a very good topic
It's exactly right.
I mean, we had our couple small group.
Yep.
We did a whole meeting about that.
Yep.
And it's not just like
it
goes both ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's
men for generations not have us.
Always
The men that
I'm guilty of it.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm guilty of it. There's a woman in the room right now, man. We're not supposed to.
We're
perfect. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I mean, I'm being honest. Yeah. I'm guilty of it.
I'm sure I have.
Guilty of being the one that's like, no, it's my way.
Yeah.
Just sit back there and look pretty.
You know, one of the things.
Don't make me a sandwich. No, I'm just kidding. That was totally unnecessary, but I felt like
it. That was not right. It's not right.
No, it wasn't right. But you understand what I'm saying. I know. I know I've done that.
Sure. I know. I think that it kind of comes down to that idea that, like, what I started to recognize is that you, like what you were talking about with community, about the people that God has placed in your life, right? Yes, my wife is to submit to her husband, but her husband is to submit to his wife in that he listens to her counsel and understands that, like, sometimes I don't have the right answers.
Yeah.
And being able to trust each other enough to be able to kind of be like, okay, here's what I'm thinking. I need to know what you think.
Yeah.
Because
and having the guts to say, you know what, you're right.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, not that's easy. A huge, no, but that's a huge deal. I mean,
yeah, it is.
We're better in pairs.
Yeah.
So to be an optimal performance pair,
yeah,
one of you has to submit and say, oh, yeah, you know what, you were right.
Yeah.
Or you know what, hey, yeah, that is a better idea or something. Even doesn't matter if you're wrong.
Yeah.
Just
look, I love the fact that my wife is ride or die, bro. She's like, whatever decision you make, I'm with you. And I'm like, no, I need your input on this.
Yeah.
Because I don't, when the ship goes down, we need to be blamed together. Yeah. You know, I don't want to be Adam going, it was her.
And see, my wife won't, she doesn't tell me what to do. She knows I have this, like she always tells me that I have this really strange way of when I have an impulse action. Like I'm like, oh man, I'm gonna do this. Blah, blah, blah. She's like, she's like, oh, I just wait till tomorrow because I know when you wake up, you're gonna change your mind.
So, as long as you haven't already committed the action. Yeah.
She doesn't even tell me no. She's like, no, I didn't agree. No, I didn't want you to do it, but I knew you'd wake up today and you'd change your mind. So
yeah, I think the beauty of it for me is that like it's like, again, I've never had that kind of a support system my whole life. Just not just community, but supporting me. And like, dude, I tell her we're going to make a movie. She's going to be like, yeah, you are. You know what I mean? What do we do? Where do we start?
Yeah.
You know, let me call this person and that person, this person. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's who she is as a wife and as a support person for me. You know what I mean? Like, it's the craziest thing in the world. It's hard to get accustomed to, quite honestly. And I'm still working through it. And that's why I think, if I'm 44 years old and it's taken, I won't say 44 years because I was not aware of much until I was in probably five. It took him roughly 40 years to really start to commit to me, like to get to me in my heart about being in community. And like, John, you can't bury this load, carry this load by yourself. You know, it's funny that we sat at church on Sunday in elementary and talked about this same thing. And we had, I love what they do. And I love that, like, Johnny has great ideas of ways to present to kids. Like, I'm a teacher, bro. I was meant to be a teacher, but I'm not like that.
Oh, I saw the weight thing.
Yes.
What is it called?
Yes. Yeah. He had a bar, a 45-pound bar with, it was 380 pounds total. Like, nobody in that room was picking that up, right? And they used it as like multiple people together could get it up or whatever. What I did was like, hey, you know, you're going through something in life. Maybe a friend mistreated you and you want to be mean. But then this friend comes along and they teach you something about, you know, treating people the way you want to be treated. And I took the weights off and I'm like, that friend took that weight from you. Now you understand. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And eventually every weight got a little heavier, yeah. Right? So it was a little bit like, you know, dealing with something bigger in life, and eventually got it down to where it was
just a bar,
and they were able to lift it by themselves. And that's where it was like, this is how important community is. This is why we need each other.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And you have to trust each other, which is hard. I know. It's still hard for me right now. Even with the people that I'm so committed to, it's still hard for me to trust. I'm just always, we've talked about it before. Like I'm waiting for it to burn down.
Waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yeah. I hate that feeling.
Yeah.
What do you think, Hannah?
It's fun.
It is fun, isn't it? It's interesting.
I think I'm just so used to being in meetings and stuff, and I just either don't have an opinion or don't feel safe to share it to where I'm like, I'm going to keep quiet.
Yeah.
You know? That's what I'm used to.
That's the other thing about this, that we want to make sure that it's a safe enough environment to where we can have a real conversation. Like, it's not about, yeah, I have thoughts, and I'm very, I won't say aggressive, but I'm like, I'm pretty bold in that. Like, you're going to hear what I got to say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, like, I'm very, very curious about other people's walk and like what their perspective is. And like, because I truly believe that my perspective is only a very small part of the whole story.
Right.
So I'm always real interested in, that's why I'm real inquisitive about like, okay, so how did you get there? Tell me that. Tell me all those.
I've never been asked that. So I was like, oh,
That would be not sure. Just go try it.
I think just being engulfed in it is a big part of it. Like,
yeah.
Even if I don't want to, I'm still going to because everyone around me.
You know,
on Mondays and Wednesdays, we do like prayer in the mornings and stuff.
Yeah.
And everyone's walking around speaking it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want mine.
Yeah. I will say like around, like, again, I'm not, I don't have that. Why do I feel like I have to be coached? You know what I mean? I feel like I have to be coached into it. You know what I mean? And my dad and I have talked about it many times because he's talked about having a prayer language and also speaking in tongues and stuff like that. And I'm like, it's never even been a part of my walk. Like, it's not even on the radar. It's not that I don't believe it's real. I do believe it's real 100%.
But maybe that's not your calling.
Yeah.
For sure. But
because there's what? How many gifts are there? 8?
I'd be lying if I said. Something in that range.
I mean,
yeah.
Like, there's healing. Like, I don't remember them all, but.
Yeah. Wisdom.
Different gifts. Prophetic.
Prophetic. Speaking in tongues. Interpretation. I know. And again, but is speaking in tongues and prayer language the same thing? Or are those two mutually exclusive things? Like, prayer language is for you only.
Oh, yeah.
That's where I'm like. Kind of confused, not confused, but like, is a prayer link, because it does say, God's word says that like the spirit prays for you in moanings and groanings, right? Like that's what the prayer language is like, this unknowable language that's really between you and God, or the spirit and God, for you on your behalf. It's interceding and advocating for you. So like, that's where I get a little like it gets a little watered down for me at that point. Like, I'm confused. Not confused. I just don't really have a really good grasp of it. And so does that mean everybody can do a prayer language, or everybody has a prayer language, or everybody who is in the Christ walk has a prayer language?
I believe so. I feel like they're different, but I don't know if there's a real answer for that.
Yeah.
I'm sure there is.
Somebody who's way better learned than we are.
Because I've heard somebody speak in tongues, and it was not the same, I don't feel, as a prayer language. But like a prayer language, I feel like, is something that I can speak and feel connected with him in the moment. It doesn't matter what, like,
I see.
Other people, I mean, they all sound different. I was just telling him, like, sometimes on, like, Wednesday mornings, the staff, like, puts on music in the sanctuary and, like, will walk around and pray in their prayer languages. And I was like, I want mine.
Yeah.
Come on. And they all just sound so different.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, but it just, I love having conversations like this because it challenges me and it makes me think on a deeper level, right? And, like, I want to understand it because that's who I am, right? I'm real analytical. I analyze everything. So I have to. But at the same time, I think God challenges me to be like, hey, stop with the analytics. You know what I mean? It's a gift, but it's also a curse. You're actually stopping yourself from being able to have the ability to talk to me in a way that no one else can. Yeah. Because you want to understand it instead of just surrendering to it, right? Yeah. But again, nobody's ever really talked to me about it that much. You know, my dad and I do. But when we talk about it, it's more like speaking in tongues. It's not just the prayer language. Do you see what I'm saying? That's why I'm like confused, not confused, but like trying to understand if the two are separate.
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
Because speaking in tongues is supposed to be for everybody, right? Like, if you're speaking in tongues, everybody is, it's for the whole group to hear. It's not just for God, right? Does that make sense? Based on the description in the Bible.
So if someone in the room starts speaking in tongues, even though we don't understand it, what they're speaking is for us.
It's for everybody. Yeah.
For everybody.
It's something that either God wants you to know. Well, it has to be something that God wants everybody to hear.
Yeah.
That's why there has to be an interpreter, or there needs to be an interpreter.
Yeah.
Right? Not just somebody. But that's the thing. Like, I've been places where everybody's doing that, and I'm like, pretty sure somebody here is lying.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like,
blah, 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 SpaghettiOs.
You took the words right out of my mouth. But you see what I'm saying? Like, I've been in places where, like, everybody in the room, everybody in the congregation is speaking in tongues, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure it says that not everybody gets that gift. So why is everybody, how is this possible that everybody in this room has that gift?
Yeah. I'm just curious as to what it sounds like. I'm like dead serious. I've never heard it.
We might as well just look it up.
Or maybe I have and I just didn't know what was happening, but it just seems.
What do you think? YouTube? Yeah, there's got to be somebody on YouTube.
There's got to be someone there that there's everything there. You can learn how to build a pool and change a tire all in the same session, like in the same 5 minutes. I mean,
and cut your hair.
Yeah.
You just want to just jump on the first one, not praying in tongues.
No, just see, someone.
This is where I get sketchy. Okay, supposedly, I'm going to say supposedly because I'm not sure, and I'm not naysaying or anything like that. It says interpretation of tongues during announcement.
Okay.
It's a minute 45.
Let's hear it.
Who is this? I don't know who posted it. Okay, ready?
And because of your friendship or your companionship, you know there are things in their life that they are suffering or encountering. And to see them raising their hands and submitting it to heaven, there's nothing that encourages me more. If they can get through it and worship, I can get through it and worship. So thank you for encouraging the body of Christ this morning.
Oh. For you are a chosen generation. I have walked among you for years, and I will continue to walk among you for the next years to come. Follow me, and I will show you the way that I have prepared for you. Oh God, follow me, and I will show you. Thank the Lord.
Let's receive the word of the Lord this morning.
Wow.
That was kind of intimidating compared to what I've heard.
that was pretty intimidating. No doubt about that.
I really hate to say this way, but I really expected an Allah Akbar at the end.
That's how it sounded a little bit. Yeah, I get it. Well, but again, it's like if you read through the book of Acts, there's a portion there was Peter and I don't remember who else talking about speaking to a group of people, a whole bunch of people that speak in different languages, and all of them heard them speaking in their own language.
Yeah.
Right. So, but these men were speaking in their own, they were speaking Hebrew, but everybody who was listening heard their language. So name one, English, Spanish.
Yeah. Everybody heard their own language.
Right. So that's what tongues is supposed to be like, right? That's what that is. Somebody, yeah. It's not even, I don't know, man. I this is really, really, really deep level stuff that takes a lot of study and a lot of.
This really, I mean, I've always been curious,
yeah,
as to what it is, but that did not sound like what I expected it to sound like.
I've heard all different kinds. I've heard it sound very demonic.
It just, I guess. I hate to be this guy.
Be the
guy. It would have sounded a little more convincing.
Yeah.
If the guy that was interpreting, like he fumbled on, you are a blessed generation.
Yeah.
And you would be blessed for a years.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like little key things, like maybe that's me overanalyzing the situation, but
no doubt. Yeah. Because trust me, I heard the same thing
And I thought kind of the same. Like, but you know, again, we have to, what are we trusting? Are we trusting that that was human led or was that God led? Yeah. Right. It's just like what we were talking about with the dream.
But let me ask you this. So, you know, it's in the Bible. It's, you know, beware of the false prophets or whatever. Like, if you just always tell yourself, like, that's God talking to me.
Yeah.
You at some point, you have to hold up a shield and kind of guard yourself against the garbage that some people may be trying to present.
Yeah, no doubt about
as it. As God's word.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
So how do you know where, that's the other thing. How do you know where to draw the line?
We should all have some level of discernment. We should not be so well-versed, but we should be so connected to our God and so connected to
that, you know,
that relationship that we're like, looking pretty sus over there. But again, like you have to have some level of, like you said, like being open to it. You know, I wasn't in that room. Yeah. If I had been in that room, I might feel something different. Yeah. Hearing a recorded version of it, it's a little bit like.
The presence does make a big difference.
Yeah.
The presence makes a huge difference. Yeah.
For sure. I've heard better ones before on here, too. Yeah. I've seen it happen, like, once like that, where, like, somebody did it and then somebody interpreted it one time. And it wasn't like that. It was different. Like, you could tell that there was a language coming out of the person. Couldn't understand it, and it did sound very angry. No doubt it sounded angry and kind of scary, but the message wasn't. You know what I mean? And the person, again, it's interesting how emotional the person that's delivering, like translating, how emotional they get.
But it's, I mean, you think about it, like, if that's really truly God's word and we can't grasp how God sounds,
yeah,
it probably would sound angry to us. You know what I mean? Because we can't, we don't know.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
We don't know how he sounds. Yeah. I mean.
Yeah. I think we all expect God to sound angry, you know?
I really don't.
I don't want to expect that.
I don't expect stereotype. Him to sound angry.
Yeah.
I expect, you know, like.
I expect him to sound like Jason.
Very cliche. I expect him to sound like.
Gentle.
Morgan Freeman. Narrating something. You know what I mean? Like
that's a good example.
Morgan Freeman in Bruce Almighty.
Yes, per se. That's exactly where my head went. I can see it.
That's how I expect him to feel. And maybe I've been groomed into feeling that way, but that's just how I feel like he would sound.
I think that so the reason I say that is because I come from my basis in Christianity comes from a very legalistic place, right? Do good, get good kind of thing.
Yeah.
I didn't start at Amarillo Fellowship, right? I started in a very legalistic place. And it's like
you do it for the reward?
Pretty much.
Kind of thing?
Yeah, pretty much. And then I recognized everybody around me, all the people, all the leadership, while they were saying all these things, we're not living those lives. You see what I'm saying? And, like, it drove me away from the church for a very long time because I'm like, this is all lies. Yeah. It didn't drive me away from God. I actually drew closer to God.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I didn't have any foundation. You know what I mean? And that's where I think I get that idea that God's just pissed off.
Yeah.
It's still kind of a scar, you know what I mean, or a cut that hasn't been healed.
Yeah.
I expect God to be mad at me. But then I remember, in order for me to make him mad, I'd have to do something that he was shocked by.
You'd have to surprise him.
And I don't think I have done that yet.
You also got to think about it this way. If you really are expecting God to be mad at you, what was the blood of Christ spilt for? You're totally taking away the value of that.
Yeah.
That's the key.
That's true.
Everything from that point forward.
What we talk about the value of something is what somebody's willing to pay for it.
Yeah.
Right? Like
you got people that'll pay $10,000 for a freaking Pokemon card, but they won't pay $69 for a Bible.
Right. A basketball in Jordan's hand is worth $1 billion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
In my hands, it's worth 37 cents.
Less than what I paid for it?
Yeah.
But
it's like the most depreciated used car value ever.
108%.
Yeah.
But God paid for you in the blood of Jesus.
Yeah. So that ought to tell you what
how valuable is that?
Yeah.
You know? But, dude, we don't think like that. We don't keep our minds in that space. Yeah. We're just constantly thinking about how mad he is at us and how we fall apart and we don't get it right.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree. I do feel like I wake up some mornings, I'm like, man.
Jason.
Yeah. For shame.
But that's where that peace thing comes in.
Yeah, a lot of the times what it takes is I need one encouraging word. That's all I need. And 10 times out of 10, it's my wife.
Yeah.
I can be walking out of the house in the worst mood ever, and she'll just drop as politely and sweetly and quietly as she can, "You're my hero." And I'm like, God.
You got a bad judge of character.
No, I got. I'm just kidding. But what that does to me is that makes me realize that I am still at least attempting to better myself. If this woman loves me like that, I mean, how horrible can I be? And I know that sounds sad that I'm comparing how she feels about me to how God feels about me. But as humans, I just need a little human affirmation. And sometimes that little saying, that little comment that she makes when I'm walking out of the house is that one thing that just really leads me to believe, like, okay, yeah, you know what? You're right. I'm not that bad.
Yeah.
And then now I will typically lean in a little harder and really trying to.
Yeah. I can be better.
Yeah.
I think that's God using her as a vessel to you, though, too.
Right. Yeah. Like, absolutely. Absolutely.
I think
I have a question for everybody, though. Okay. We've already talked about this before, but I want to see what her thoughts are.
Okay, go.
What do you think heaven smells like?
Cactus blossom candle from Bath and Body Works.
Cactus blossom candle. It's my
favorite like a thing. Field, like a field full of fresh flowers, or
I don't know. I've never thought about what it smells like. I've only thought about what it looks like.
What does it look like?
I think of Wizard of Oz walking down the yellow path.
Yes.
You know, it's funny that you say that because how I picture it is, you know, in The Chosen when they're walking down that little path.
The cobblestone path.
And they finally get to eat and they just reach over there and grab some wheat.
Yep.
But they're all sitting there together and they're all having a good time. That's how I see it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I picture fields of gold, like in wheat, not like actual gold bars out of the ground. But
oh, I love it when people say that.
Fields of gold like that, like golden wheat and
things
like that, blue skies.
Yeah.
You know, just that's how I see it.
Yeah. With people that you love and care about and that care about you and things, people that you walked with in life, but Jesus is there.
So let me ask you this. I don't know where it's at. I
just Mama's fried chicken, by the way.
Oh, that's what you said. That is exactly
Mama's
what you
fried
said.
Chicken.
Mama's fried chicken. My wife's, what did she say? Like fresh baked bread?
Ooh, yeah, I think it was something like that.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. But.
No, you're good. I can't remember what all everybody said.
I can't either. It was a great question. I think it's fair. Miss Hannah, how many groups are you doing?
Small groups?
Just
one.
You're leading one. Are you attending another, or are you just leading one?
Just leading.
Yeah. What are you doing this year? Semester?
When Women Say Yes to God by Lisa Turkers.
Can you tell her that? Because we tried to buy the book yesterday, and she couldn't remember what it was, and you wouldn't answer your phone.
Oh, yeah. I got in trouble this morning.
So
I sent it to her on Audible.
You did? Okay, good. Good. She wants to be able to do both. Like you talked about when you're reading the Bible, like you need to hear it too, or somebody reading it along with you. It just kind of helps.
I can't just read it by myself. Like I have to, like I'd go to the Bible app and I push play and I read while it's playing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And sometimes I still have to go back. But if I sit and read it, it's
Yeah.
It's in and out, gone.
That's something that this deal with the Monday night deal, I've been challenging myself to read whatever it is slow.
Yeah.
Somebody told me that a while back about, that's probably about 2 years ago. I talked about, I can't remember what book we were talking about. And I was like, you know, there's a lot of things that I just don't understand about it. And he goes, just read it slow. And I was like, what do you mean? And it wasn't until somebody said that I started to recognize that, like, when I'm reading to get to read it, to just get through it instead of like engaging with it, reading it. And so, like, I've been challenging myself every time we get whatever it is we're going to read that day. Take your time. Take the 5 minutes at least.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Have you ever read a comic book?
Yeah.
You notice how easy it is to read a comic book and understand everything that's going on?
Yeah.
Do you want to know why? Why? Pictures.
I need the pictures. Action Bible.
Have you seen that?
Yes.
I need Dude, the that is Bible. Amazing.
I probably could read that easier.
Have that. Like, I can read a comic book and understand every. I can read it as fast as I can. I can understand everything going on in it.
Yeah.
That's why they used to have the little felt boards and they'd move the little characters around on it.
But you put a Bible in front of my face and I'm like, whoa.
I got into this question yesterday with our Bible study on Mondays. Why is the paper in the Bible so thin? I know this is a silly question, but it's like, it's the same paper you roll a joint with, guys, okay? I'm sorry, but it's the same paper.
I wasn't going to say it, but I'll tell you now that I have used a couple hotel Bibles to roll them. So.
Tanner said, you're using Peter right now. You're smoking Peter. But golly.
Oh, no.
Anyway, it's just like, why is that? Like, every other book you pick up, like this paper right here in my book of Bible, Book of Bumper Sticker Wisdom. I was almost speaking in my prayer language, I think.
Close.
But you know what I mean?
Hit it like, with a shot of ether, just didn't turn the key.
I just don't understand why it's so thin. Like, why? Because it's like the pages stick together so much and all that kind of stuff. I was just wondering, like, why it's not like that. Somebody's like, well, because it'll be so much thicker. And I'm like, bro, it's like 1,800 pages. It ain't going to be that much thicker.
I don't think it has anything to do with the thickness. I think maybe they're trying to replicate what it was like scrolls were like, maybe.
Yeah, the kind of paper.
The kind of paper, the kind of texture.
Yeah.
I think maybe that might, because, you know, back then it wasn't a book, it was in a scroll. Sure,
yeah. I find it interesting. And you know what?
But
I
also, think, too, man, if you think about it, scrolls would have to be pretty friggin' thick to last as long as they did.
Yeah, it was usually like a leather-ish type situation.
Yeah, so I'm way wrong on that
one. My thing is like, I think if they were to change it today, like if they decided, you know what, we're not making Bibles like that anymore, we're just going to make them like regular books, we would hate that.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because it's easier to turn the pages like.
I've never had this question before.
What do you think?
Well,
I have no idea. I was going to say the thickness, but.
In all honesty, now, you're right. If they tried to change it, if you opened your Bible up and it was one of them thick-ass pages.
I'd be mad.
You're going to be like, where'd this come from?
No. I need them on the phone right now.
Cardstock.
Oh, man. See, I told you this was easy. It's interesting, isn't it? It's a lot different. And the
more you do it, the easier it gets. Like, I can notice that you were getting a little more comfortable as we were going.
Yeah.
Things started coming out a lot easier.
Yeah. And we had some really interesting conversations. Yeah. Some of this stuff, guess what? None of it was stuff we were going to talk about.
No.
You know how you find peace? You have conversations.
I like the prayer language thing. I really like that.
It's actually a topic we hadn't touched on at all. So very interesting that it came out today.
Awesome. I've never even heard of it. So that's broadening my horizons.
We always ask God to help us grow in this relationship and help us to learn how to be, you know, just a little bit better.
Yeah.
And man, I'm really, really grateful. Just thank you so much for being willing. I know it's a little intimidating at first, but see, you can see here, we're just having a conversation. It's just like trying to be real with each other and have a little bit of a conversation and center it around like
our relationship with God and our relationship with each other, and understanding that, you know, we need help to grow, you know. And it's always interesting to have a female perspective. We're not about to have our wives on here.
No.
Because that would be...
He said no.
They would be a fun time.
They would be a fun time, just them. With us out of the picture,
yeah.
I don't know that... I think that would be very tough for us. You know what I'm saying? I love them. I love them. And I mean, I think that God has done amazing things through them to us and helped us grow. There's without question, but doing it together would be a mess.
My wife and that is my pride and joy.
Yeah.
But when it comes to talking, none of us would get a word in.
Terry,
she's
either
a jabber.
My wife's
bro. It's like,
that's what I'm saying. Like, them two together would be fine.
I'd be like, hey,
wind them up and let them go, baby.
I got something to say.
Hey, if we ever can't, both of us can't make it to the show, we'll just be like, hey,
yeah, hey, you guys,
Terry,
come on.
Y'all go ahead and do it. Y'all go record. I'll show you. All you got to do is push the record button. Just go. I'll edit the rest.
They would, too.
Oh, they would. You got a dad joke for me? You got to do it. Hey, dad jokes.
I got so into this one that I didn't even take time to pick one out.
Dad jokes are free at this table.
Okay, I got one right here. So I told my dad I was reading a history book about glue. I can't put it down. The information has really stuck with me.
Yep.
The dumber they are, the better they are.
The easier they are.
Yeah.
I'm going to use the one I sent to you the other day. For whatever reason, it's interesting that the idea of the prayer language and stuff, that it just makes a lot of sense to me. You're never ready for what you have to do. You just do it, and that makes you ready.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting that was one that I shared the other day with you.
Yeah.
It's not written down in the book of Bumper Sticker Wisdom. It just kind of came up. I don't know where it came from.
Thank you very much for coming. This was amazing.
It was a lot of fun.
I would say to everybody listening, check us out on all our social media platforms.
Yeah. Facebook and Instagram. Facebook, John and Jason BSW. And Instagram, bumper_sticker_wisdom.
If you haven't checked out our Bible Roulette on TikTok, give us a go on that at Bumper Sticker Wisdom.
Yes, sir.
For Jason.
And John.
And Hannah.
We're out.